Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Settle down. Enough fooling around with the substitute teachers. Now it is time for the real professor of the Umbrella Academy to be back and talk about the Umbrella Academy, the show that we are talking about. I am your professor of the Umbrella Academy and not a substitute teacher, Alex.
Your subs are still here, though. We're still coming through. Woo-hoo-hoo. Partying hard. Let's do this. I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are going to be talking about the day that was. Not the day that wasn't, but the day that was the paired episode to the previous episode, which I didn't get to talk about. I think, actually, if I remember correctly, I've been off the last two episodes. So
that's
sorry
correct.
I haven't talked to you guys about it.
I know, because we haven't spoken in any other way except for on this podcast.
I do feel particularly bummed, and we'll get into it in a moment, but I'm pretty bummed because I wanted to see what your reaction, Justin, was to the Leonard reveal, since that was something that we've been kind of dancing around on the podcast a little bit. I know this is your first time watching the show, so I don't listen to the podcast. What was your take on it?
Clearly you do, because you knew that we were substitute teachers, which we are.
Yeah, it was clearly. At the beginning of the end, you know, just so I could edit it all together.
Right. You can, smart. Get the high notes. I thought it was, I like it. I like that sort of the only way into this family is through the one person that they sort of don't count in their family. And I like that he's framed as a supervillain rather than just like, creep, as some of us on this podcast has referred to him.
He's a fucking creep.
But he gets a sort of true supervillain origin story in a good way. And so I liked it a lot.
He's a fucking creep. What's upsetting about this episode and compared to the last episode is that this episode negates the last episode, and the last episode had some really sweet, nice moments. A lot of things came together for our main characters, and that's all wiped clean. It's like a shitty what if issue of a comic book.
Technically, the what if was the fun episode we saw last time.
Yeah.
But Pete, let me throw this out to you. I feel like it really bothers you when any sort of content does this. Like, it gives you something and then takes it away. You want what's best for the characters, as if they were real people who you hung out with.
They are real to me.
Yeah.
They're would you say they're your best friends, Pete, or how would you refer to them?
Yeah, okay. My TV is my best friend.
You're a Howard. Gotcha. You're a Herald in the making.
Hey, I thought you were going to say you're a Howard the Duck for a second, which also accurate, because he doesn't wear pants. And because
Donald
he's
Duck.
Fucking Leah Thompson.
Oh, man.
Wow. The most essential
right
characteristic of that character is
it's her name is close to my actual girlfriend's name, so it's kind of weird that you say that.
Yeah. Huh. Now, did your girlfriend star in Back to the Future?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Do you do any sort of quack-based sexual play? Some duck stuff?
That's a hell of a question to ask me.
Are you ducking around a little bit at night?
Yeah. Always.
Late night ducking?
Always be ducking.
Wow.
Nice. So, probably should have mentioned this up front. Obviously, we're going to spoil the episode. We're going to very quickly talk about what happened in the day that was. But mostly, you should have watched it already. You should have checked it out before you get into this podcast.
You are a professor. Mostly scolding his students.
Yes, he likes to scold people at the top of the app.
It's, I got to get past that so I can get to the fun stuff. All the business, business in the front, party in the back. You know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's business in the Alex, party in the Pete and Justin. That's the way we do it. Oh. We're the mullet. We've always been the mullet.
So yeah, this is the paired episode with the last episode. In the last episode, a lot of stuff went down. A lot of people died. Bad shit happened. And then Five jumped back in time and basically reversed everything. So we got a do-over of the day that was in this episode. And over the course of this episode, over the course of this day, we see a couple of things that happen a little differently, a couple of things that happen the same. Specifically, Hazel and Cha-Cha still try to kill each other, man, in this episode. Hazel reveals that he's going to run away with Donut Lady. So that's pretty sweet and nice.
Yeah, on the Umbrella Academy side, things.
Yeah, things happen pretty differently. There's still a family meeting. Vanya is still rejected off of it. She goes with Leonard off to a cabin.
Fucking
Leonard
creepy,
ends up getting beaten up. She loses it, reveals her powers, find out so that she does, in fact, have powers, and they're pretty destructive. So that's going on. But Leonard loses an eye in the process. Bad for him, unless you hate him, in which case you're probably pretty happy about that. Right, Pete?
Yeah, yeah. But it's also like, all of a sudden, a fight broke out exactly when they needed it for her to test his powers. I know that's all part of that creep's fucking plan, because he's creepy.
Do you think he did it on purpose so he could lose an eye?
Like he's I like, think he I'm did it on purpose eye. To kickstart her powers. But I do think, though, that like...
Sorry to interrupt, but this is just a perfect opportunity. I'm actually starting a Kickstarter to lose my right eye. And if you guys could pledge, that'd be great. Check it out at Alex-Loses-An-Eye on Kickstarter.
What's the most I can pledge?
What?
What's the highest amount of money I can pledge to that?
The highest amount of money? Yeah. The highest amount of money is $5. And for that, you get my eye.
I'm doing
Ooh,
it.
Ooh, I want to pledge for the eye, though. Finally, we have a Cyclops on our team. Looks like we've always wanted.
Yeah, you've always been the Cyclops of this team. So, yeah, I just think that, like, what's upsetting about this episode is in the last one, Vanya finds out at the end. But she, there were so many signs when he's pushing her, and she still doesn't know.
Well, let me mention a couple of other things, and then I do want to get to the quality or lack thereof of the episode. Depending on which side you fall on, I think. But we get a couple of other things that happen differently, particularly Allison, Diego, and Luther? No, Allison, Diego, and Klaus, I think. Five?
Yeah.
I don't know. Allison, Diego, and Five end up trying to track down some leads and find out who this Harold guy is. They very quickly find out that it is, in fact, Leonard. They go to his house. Things get messed up a little bit, so they don't get to shut it down necessarily. But now they know that Leonard is going after them. We also find out that Leonard's motivation is that he was born the same day as the Umbrella Academy kids, but as far as Reginald Hargreaves is concerned, he doesn't have any powers. So he went crazy, killed his dad, went to prison for 12 years, and then 5 days before this, found Reginald Hargreaves' diary and decided to target Vanya and go after her. So that's kind of his whole plan. And as a little bit of a side trip, Luther, super bummed out that nobody is hanging out with him and that he can't save the world and that Reginald doesn't like him and sent to the moon for maybe no reason, goes to a party, gets super high. Klaus also gets high, has
a flashback. Not just a party. He's at a rave, man.
Yeah, be straight about what kind of party this is, Alex.
Yeah, dude. Sorry, come on, bro.
It's a real shindig. And so Klaus
gets
high.
You're old.
Alex, real quick, could you describe the last rave that you were at?
Oh, gosh. The rave I was at, well, there was some bathtub gin, see? And we had Bugsy was there. And then the coppers came and broke the whole thing up, and we added a skedaddle.
Wow.
And we had glow sticks.
And you had glow sticks. Nice.
Yeah.
You weren't on Molly. You were with Molly, your friend.
Yes. Oh, man. She's a swell gal. So,
are you friends with Molly?
Wait, real quick, quick story about Pete. Going to a rave reminds me of I was doing a show in Philadelphia, and we went out afterwards, Pete and his and his personal Leah Thompson. Yeah. And we were like, we had been drinking all day. We were so drank on stage for this show I was doing. And sober now, it was like midnight, and we were like, well, I think we're going to go grab one more beer and then probably head home. Pete was like, yeah. And then Pete's girlfriend was like, hey, we have to go into the dance room now. We have to get our name. We have to get in before midnight so that we can dance for a long time. And Pete went and danced for a long time.
Dance the night and away, that, bro.
And that dance was the Enchantment Under the Sea dance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was funny because we
that's
at,
a Back to the Future reference. I just wanted to be very clear about that.
No, no, that's super, super obvious. What was funny was we were at the diner, like scarfing, everybody's like, oh, I'm so full, probably just have one more beer and then go pass out. And I was like, I'm going to go dance the night away, gentlemen.
Yeah, he did.
Amazing.
And Marvin Berry was the DJ, I believe.
Yeah. No, the DJ's name was like DJ DJ or something like that.
I think that's 100% right, because we were like, you were like, we got to go see DJ DJ. And we were like, we are not at that age right now.
So just to wrap it up, Klaus also heads to the party. He's been clean for a while ever since his trip to the Vietnam War. We find out that he was very much in love with a boy there. We find out a little bit more of that. He keeps flashing back.
He's a man.
And he eventually has a flash flash sideways. I don't know, flash to death, where he sees Reginald Hargreaves. I'm sure we'll talk about that in a moment. They have a heart-to-heart, finally, about what happened to him. And then by the end, everybody's apart. Everybody is in bad places. Turns out the day that was even worse in some ways than the day that wasn't. And that's your broad overview of the episode. Now, I'll start off, and I'm curious to get your guys' take. It was definitely watching this episode again, I remembered how annoyed I was about this episode. And the reason I was annoyed about this episode was different than I think the way you were positing Pete was annoyed about this episode. I just think they didn't do enough with the changes. Like, I feel like somebody in the writer's room probably said, there's always these things where you get a redo and it always shakes things up dramatically. What if it didn't change that much? Wouldn't that be interesting? And it is theoretically an interesting idea, but it's not interesting to watch. Is my take on it.
Well, here's the thing. I disagree with you, because there are like certain things that when you think about it, certain events will change your whole day. You know what I mean? Like certain things that can happen really can throw your day upside down. Other things are so set in motion that you can't, you can put as many different roadblocks in front of Hazel and Cha-Cha as you want. And when they get tube information, they're gonna attack each other because they follow those tubes.
The tubes.
Yeah.
But just that initial thing of Five jumping back in time and coming up to everybody and being like, we got a do-over on this day. Here's what's going on. And they're all like, nah. I mean, maybe it's the, I know you guys are more improvisers than I am, but the shoddy improv training I've had, it feels like he came in and was like, here, I'm giving you something in the scene. And they were like, no, but, and then left. And it's very frustrating to watch.
I think I'm in the middle in between the two of you, because I agree with you, Alex. They could have done so much more if they sort of cleanly treated these two episodes as like parentheses. Like one was what didn't happen, and one is what did happen. And they sort of, you want them to reflect on each other more, because the part that really I liked was when we see that Hazel and Cha-Cha's day didn't change very much. Like their day is separate. Five
but
didn't
really
affect
them.
But we also
got to see more with their day from different perspective. We got the whole donut lady romance, the kiss spin. I mean, come on.
Come on. But I do think if we got stronger counterpoints to from the day that wasn't to the day that was, it would hang together as a two-part thing and be actually really exciting, I think, because it does sort of wander in this episode. And I think thematically they're trying to make a point that like in the day that the day that wasn't, Vanya finds out that she's in a bad place with Leonard/Harold, which is
creepy
a good
guy.
Thing. The rest of the group sort of goes their separate ways and isn't coming together as a family.
Except and for Luther and Allison.
Are getting their relationship together. So they're sort of separately finding peace, but not coming together. And in the second episode, in this episode, The Day That Was, they come together, but like everything goes really poorly. So I think that those are the themes they're trying to get to, but it doesn't really land, to your point, Alex, because it doesn't really just have enough strong connections to the episode from before.
Mm-hmm. And also, Selman, I think part of your frustration is you want them just to be a team and to work together and save the world like they're supposed to. But because they had such a fucked up role figure in their life, like a shitty father, if you will, that even when they're supposed to come together, they don't know how. They can't. They're not there yet. So when they get the redo, what do you expect them to do? To all be like, oh, the world's ending? Oh, I'll forget all this bullshit that has been keeping us apart for all these years. It still is. It's still them. They're not all of a sudden brand new. So I think it's one of those things where, like, it's interesting that you want them to do it so bad, but even they get the redo, they still are themselves. So I applaud them for staying true to this, who the characters are, instead of just making a clean redo and all of a sudden we're a team and all of a sudden we're going to save the world, because that's what we're supposed to do.
I think that's right, Pete. Like I think you're right about that being my take on it, and that by being my feeling, because this to me, structurally in the season, this would have been perfect if you put it right towards the end, where it is that turning point where they do get to be a team and they do get to come together and figure out what's going on and move forward in that. Instead, we're at, what is this, the seventh episode? So there's still a bunch more to go, relatively speaking. And instead, it's that point where they're broken apart. So I don't know. I just wish there's a lot to like about this episode. I know, as usual, I'm lumping on it quite a bit, but there's a lot of great sequences.
You're a real lumper.
I am a, you know what? When I order coffee, I tell them, hey, give me my Umbrella Academy with two lumps.
Oh,
of sugar. I usually don't know what I'm talking about. But I don't know.
In Park Slope, how often do people order lumps of sugar, do you think?
Yo, man, I live in Sunset Park now, all right?
So that's right. We have to change our whole, the way we refer to your lifestyle now that you're out in Sunset Park.
Yeah, and basically they're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. they say take that shit back to Park Slope.
Yeah, that's exactly
this is
right.
This is Sunset Park. We're real tough here, and we have a delicious taco place down the block. So,
what is it like, Alex? What is it like when you all gather together to watch the sun go down at the end of the day?
Yeah,
the you
park
and the rest
is
of
a
the
nice
neighborhood.
Well, we sing the Sunset Park song, of course. I don't want to repeat it here, but everybody knows the lyrics, and it's a really beautiful moment.
Yeah,
well, that's nice.
Goodbye, sun.
Oh, you know it.
I lived in Sunset Park briefly, yes.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Hello,
my people here, we believe traditionally that we are the ones who bring the sun down in Sunset Park. It's never been proven, but the belief is strong in my people.
Yes.
Okay.
It's true.
What are we talking about exactly?
Sunrise
We're talking about
Valley.
The Umbrella Academy. Should we maybe get back to that a little bit? Let's talk about some of the various storylines. Pete, I'm sure you were into Hazel and Cha-Cha in particular. You want to chat about that? What you liked about that?
Yeah, yeah. One thing I wanted to – I was upset that we started with the creepy guy's like origin story. I could give a shit. You're a bad guy. You shouldn't get an origin story. But
I love that. That was one of my favorite parts of the episode.
Agreed.
I love the
just
idea.
Think there were the set pieces in this episode I thought were the best parts. The bit at the top where we get the origin of Harold, the thing with Klaus hanging out with his dad in the barbershop was very cool.
First off, I just wanted to say when it comes to creepy guy's origin story, don't beat your kids, okay? It's a horrible life choice, and you just shouldn't do it. It's just shitty thing, and please, if you're out there, stop it, okay? Just fucking knock it off.
Pete, with a big take, a take that you never hear, don't abuse your children.
Yeah.
I do want to say,
give
though,
them hugs,
I love the
tell them
secret.
You love them, even if they're the worst.
Wow.
I love the opening sequence because I think it's such a smart idea of if you exist in this world where you know there's seven kids who are the most famous kids in the world who were all born on October 1st, 1989, and you were born on October 1st, 1989, and your life is terrible, of course you're going to be like, yeah, I secretly have superpowers as well. And the fact that he doesn't,
what is
and
this?
It gets
the
shut
Joker
down so
movie?
Hard.
Nobody cares
forgetting
about
your adult Leonard, who I, Pete, I agree with you. Adult Leonard sucks, like legitimately sucks. I don't want to watch him. I don't want to see him on my screen. I don't like him at all. But the origin of the kid as a standalone idea in the universe of the Umbrella Academy is a very smart thing to do.
Agreed.
Just no. You're nodding your head no on this audio podcast.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you more. Like, yeah, it just, even the voiceover start to it was just shitty because it was like, here's an ordinary kid whose only chance at a good life died as soon as he was born. Oh, well,
Pete,
his life's going
to
suck.
Let me try to put you in the same mindset as Leonard to see if you can identify with him. It'd be like if you were born, if seven other people on your birthday got your version of a superpower, like a free 6-inch meatball sub from Subway.
Oh, man.
What if you hear about all these other people with the same birthday are getting this 6-inch Subway meatball sub from Subway? Great, like obviously meat, highest quality meat. You get like 2.5 to 3 meatballs, bunch of sauce.
Wait, you're talking about some meatball subs and it's making me really hungry. And I just wanted to point out something. Before I left, I got a city sub meatball sub, which in my opinion is one of the best meatball subs in New York City. So I was very happy about that. But listen, if a bunch of people are getting free shit, oh, I'm sorry, you got to work for it. Some people get handed superpowers. Other people got to work for it. Fucking so what? That doesn't mean you get to fucking grow up and be a fucking asshole.
I think you'd be a supervillain called the Meatballer, is all I'm saying.
The thing that I did find annoying, though, is how they tried to play cagey about it being Leonard at the beginning. Because you watch that, and it opens up the episode, and you're like, oh, that's Leonard. This is a cool origin story for him. And then they're like, he's from the back. He's in shadow. He's a little out of focus. And then they do the slow pan around him, and you're like, yeah, we know it's Leonard. Just get to it. It's fine. We get it.
Essentially, because they already established that there's a dead body. Like there are no other villains in this show. Like there's no way it could be another.
Exactly. It's also wild that he has had 5 days to put this together. That like he found a journal, immediately read it, and it was like, "I'm targeting Vanya. Here's what we're doing. We're ready to go." Which is, I guess, maybe he had 12 years in prison to plan it or something like that. But that's crazy.
Anybody think that was a short amount of time for taking a hammer to your father's
head? Very short amount of time. Yeah. He had a massive super bone flat, and he's just rolling with it.
He's a kid. You know, they don't put kids in jail for as long as adults.
Yeah, but what psych test is he going to pass is my question to you.
He's passed a lot of – everyone thinks he's pretty normal in the world.
Nobody thinks he is.
Vanya does.
Pete, can we talk – we're getting very stuck on this. Can you talk about Hazel and Cha-Cha? What did you like about that?
Okay, so
donuts. It was involved. Donuts were involved in the plot line.
Kissing through donut holes, through the hole of the donut, because that's how you kiss when you kiss someone who works at a donut store.
No, but what was great about this is,
wait, I'm sorry to interrupt. What if it's a Boston cream?
All right, interesting. You kiss right through that messy, messy middle. That's like a French kiss. That's very sexual.
It's delicious. Sexual. It's fucking delicious.
If you kiss through a collar, that's called a French kiss.
Kiss through a crawler.
All right. Anyways, you asked me a question and then wouldn't kiss
back. I was thinking that too. But I already sang one song this episode, so I can't sing another one.
Yeah, we don't have the budget for all this.
Baby!
So,
to me, you're like a kiss through a crawler, baby. Go ahead, Pete. What?
You asked me a question and then won't let me answer it.
I'm trying to sing Kiss from a Crawler, the hit song from Batman for Donuts. Pete got so annoyed, by the way, just so everybody knows. Pete got so annoyed his headphones just fell off.
Yeah, that's angry. That's like a cartoon anger. Like when a steam comes out of a cartoon character's ears, that's literally what happened. And we saw physical evidence of Pete being a cartoon.
Toot!
Yeah, it's still an audio podcast, assholes. All right, so... It's really beautiful because there's this moment where Cha-Cha is going to kill Hazel in the woods. We get to see it from from Hazel's point of view. And he sees a bird and he like realizes that the donut lady is his true love and is really kind of like that moment really turns him to be like, okay, fuck all this. I'm going to just see if I got 3 days, I'd rather roll 3 days with the love of my life and go out that way than fucking, you know, keep time jumping and killing people. But it was really funny to hear Cha-Cha's response to Hazel when Hazel was like, listen, I'm in love. Let me go our separate ways. She's chained to a radiator and she still was like, fuck you. We've got the best job in the world. We get to go to exotic places, meet new people, and then kill them. That was hilarious. That's a very funny line.
The Hazel and Cha-Cha stuff is like, I feel like it's not my favorite part. I'm much more interested in what's happening with our Academy members, the members of the Academy. I think it's fun, but like it feels like we know what's going to happen to me.
You weren't moved by the fact that the donut lady was going to give up everything to be with Hazel. Like the whole moment
I thought he got choked up and
was like, I can't believe you're going to do this.
She was going to give up the crullers. The Boston creams.
She's given up the best job you could have working at a donut place, and they spin kiss, and they're all so excited to start their new life, and you guys could give
a guess. I don't know. The impression that I get, and maybe this is terrible to say out loud, but the impression that I get watching this storyline is it feels like they thought, oh, isn't that funny to have a big young guy and a tiny old lady fall in love? Isn't that funny?
Well, I will say we don't learn much about her, so it's hard to really care for her because we know that she likes she's around the crullers, the Boston creams. Right.
Yeah, but that's the thing, you don't know
cakey donuts, the old fashioned cakey donuts.
You don't know how old she is. She's living hard, you know, living that donut life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, that sugar really ages you.
Yeah, she could be like 34. You have no idea.
That's true. I guess I didn't really think about that. I want to talk about my favorite sequence, which I know I'm a sucker for Klaus, but Klaus, after he takes, I assume it's ecstasy, and ends up in his weird flash to death thing where he interacts with Reginald Hargreaves, was great. Like, that whole sequence, I love sequence. I love... Yeah, what?
He doesn't take it. That's the whole point. He crawls for it. He has the
thing with Dave.
Yeah, and he throws it because he's like, Luther's more important than drugs. And that was a beautiful moment because Ben really got to him when he was like, Luther would do anything for you and you're not going to fucking help him. It was great. I thought Ben had a really nice moment. It was funny when Klaus like walked right through him.
Everybody loves Ben.
And the fact that he threw away the drugs to go save his brother was really touching. And then he hit his head, and that's when he got to see his dad. But first,
I was watching God. At triple speed. Go ahead.
He met God on a bicycle, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
All that whole thing was fun.
The whole sequence was well filmed, and I really liked, whether it's true or not, the explanation that Reginald Hargreaves killed himself to bring everybody together. Like, I don't think that's 100% true, but that interpretation of it, the relationship between Reginald and Klaus, I thought was very cool the way it was played out.
Also, it was really cool the way it was shot, where it was like, we went from this like very colored kind of like rave scene to this like black and white quiet, but like his shirt was very bright. It was very cool, very well shot.
My favorite part of the episode, though, is getting to see Luther really let his hair hang.
Oh, yeah, dude. Getting that rave scene on.
That body hair out.
Yeah, just letting it loose.
That reminded me very strongly. I went to the Bronx Zoo once, and there was a gorilla doing a rave like that. And it was kind of the same sort of thing.
Yeah, you show up for all the animal raves, right?
Mm-hmm. I used to, man, before this pandemic. I'm a member. Yeah. So we get advanced access to the animal raves. Nice.
Do a bunch of weird drugs with the zebras and stuff.
Dude, that's creepy as fuck, bro.
Getting loose with the turtles.
If you're a member of the Wildlife Conservation Society, you get to go to the Bronx Zoo and do whatever you want to the owls. Yeah,
come on, dude.
That at 9 p.m., the zoo closes and they just open the cages. And any members can get up there and fuck around, dude.
In your case, Pete, you can do whatever you want.
Pete, you can duck around up
duck,
there.
You can duck around, Pete.
You guys are really weird.
Uh-oh, I can see your headphones slowly moving away from your ears again. Justin, don't what did you it. Like about this episode? Was there anything that particularly grabbed you? Any sequences?
The stuff with Luther, I legitimately did like. The fact that he sort of confronts his whole reputation and personal sense of confidence gets shattered when he finds out that he wasn't doing good work on the moon. And then he just like cuts. It was great to see him just being out there and letting that hair hang, as I said.
Yeah, it was also like sweet the way he kind of cried on Klaus's shoulder and It was kind of fun, and it wasn't like overacting drunk. You know what I mean? Like sometimes when you see someone like pretending to be drunk, you're just kind of like, "What is going on?" I thought it was done nicely.
Did you guys like the Coldplay video that played at the end of the episode?
Yeah, that was pretty good. I mean, I love Coldplay; they're my favorite band.
It was the ending sequence that sort of said, "Look, everything's bad." Felt very much like a 1990s Coldplay music video.
Well, it was interesting because what I liked about it was it kind of set a tone and also was like showing where everybody is, their kind of status currently. And then the kind of chorus was, "We hope that you choke." And it's like our heroes are kind of choking on saving the world. They're not really taking care of business.
Yeah.
So, like Coldplay, kind of depressing music. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Last thing I wanted to call out, though, was Vanya's plotline, just because despite Leonard sucking, Ellen Page's Vanya continues to be great. I love the sequence of them walking down the street and bending the lampposts. I know that was in the last episode as well. And just her finally using her powers and blowing past those thugs is very well staged. The effects are very good there as well. So it's cool. I wish she wasn't tied to Leonard, but I like her in that plot line.
I also liked her kind of like making fun of kind of superhero stuff in the moment where she's like, do I point my fingers? Do I, you know what I mean? Like it feels silly. And it was kind of like a fun comment on like, this is ridiculous. And I felt like that giggle was kind of a fun moment.
Yeah. Any other moments you want to call out before we start to wrap up here? Anything else that jumped out to you about this particular episode? Justin? Pete?
I like the flashback, Klaus's flashback to Dave in the middle of the rave, the Dave rave. That was a fun little moment. Like you're saying, Klaus, no matter what is sort of the story of the rest of the characters, Klaus's stuff always feels like it really pops in the midst of no matter what's happening. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
I really like the Klaus dad stuff where it was like, if anyone's going to talk to that fucking shitty dad, I'm glad it was Klaus. And Klaus gave it to him straight. He was like, you're a fucking psycho, a world's worst father. What the fuck did you expect to happen? But as far as like real other stuff that I wanted to kind of talk about in the episode, like I thought the Diego mom stuff was still very interesting. Like even though all this stuff's going on, like Diego just seeing his mom, like just kind of like falling back into this, oh mom, help. My brother cut himself, you know, like that was really kind of sweet and interesting. But yeah, I think we covered a lot of stuff. But just goddamn, that father stuff was just so goddamn upsetting to watch.
Are you looking forward to the next episode, The Day That Almost Was?
No, that's not really it.
The Day That Might Happen?
Justin, come on, don't fuck with him. The next episode is called, Ugh, What a Day.
Days, am I right?
Yeah, days are crazy. I do think it's interesting, the Diego character. It feels like can't really, it's not quite coming together. I want more from him.
I thought it was funny when he jumped through.
Me too.
He jumped through that window and his brother was like, it's open, you know? And he's like, whatever, I'm a tough guy. It was kind of like a classic brother kind of thing. I thought that was...
I like the actor a lot, but they've definitely, and we talked about this on the podcast before, but they've definitely muted what he can do from the comic book. Like, he's a total Batman style badass in the comic book and awesome. And here, the fact that he goes up to a cop and he's like, hey, give me this evidence. And the cop's like, I don't know. And he's like, why don't you give it to me? And the cop's like, all right, here it is. And that's how they figure out the mystery is not that cool.
That's exactly right. It is not that cool. Yeah.
Yes. All right. Before we wrap up here, who gets top marks for this episode? Justin, do you want to go first here?
Top marks for the ep. I mean, I already said it, but I got to give it up for Luther. Cutting loose. I think all the characters need to become the thing that they aren't to, I think, solve this. They need to come out of the sort of, they've all but pinned themselves into these different bad situations. And Luther getting himself out of the Superman role of the, like, the Boy Scout who always does the right thing, and cutting loose a little bit, I think, will help him save the day in the next few episodes, perhaps.
Mm. Pete?
Well, I know you're going to say Klaus. I want to say Klaus, but... For me, close second is Hazel. Really got to see some emotion from him. And then, like, you know, it was nice to see a little bit more of his point of view of that day. And I think that really helped things. And, yeah, I think that actor is killing it. And it's just an absolute joy to watch.
I'm going to say, despite what you just said, Pete, my top marks is Klaus. Klaus was great in this episode.
Yeah. You can't say Klaus. Great. Yeah.
I mean, he's so good. And like Justin said, there's something about like Robert Sheehan on screen where the just sequences just pop so much more. That Flash wherever sequence was so good and so well filmed. The stuff with Billy is so emotional. It's great. I love watching his storyline. And thank you all for watching our audio podcast. We appreciate it. A couple of things to plug before we go. You can follow us socially at Podcademy on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Crowdcast on YouTube. Come hang out. We'd love to chat with you about the Umbrella Academy. iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe and listen to the show. ComicBookClubLive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, this is it for the Umbrella Podcademy.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Vim, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.